WBSM presents The Tim Weisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Weisberg Show.
Welcome back in, and you two is right. It is a beautiful day. It's a little breezy out there, 60 degrees, but the sun is out, and this is my time of year. We're in September now. It's, as Christine has been telling us, it's meteorological fall, which is good enough for me. I know we're still a few weeks away from the official equinox, the autumnal equinox, but that's all right. I'm looking at these trees here. The leaves are orange on these trees, which seems kind of early. But I do see orange in some of these trees. So we're going to get a little bit of an early fall, which is fine by me. The longer, the better. But it is, of course, also spooky season. So tomorrow we will have our first spooky season discussion with local photographer Frank Grace and author Jeff Belanger, talking about their new book, Wicked Strange, which you can get your own copy signed at the Profile Tavern this coming Sunday. We'll have all the details for you tomorrow. And then, you know, we'll have some spooky discussions through the course of September and October. Not an overwhelming amount, but just enough to keep things weird. But also this weekend is the TerrorCon in Marlboro. And I'll be there. I'm one of the featured guests, along with some of your favorites from the horror and sci-fi world. And as we go through the week, I'll share more of that with you as well. It's going to be a good time, and it's going to be not nearly as crowded as Rhode Island Comic Con. So if you've gone to Rhode Island Comic Con, it's just a little bit too much for you, this will be perfect for you, because the crowds are not overwhelming. The lines to get autographs and get things signed are not overwhelming. The photo ops are always... Even with Rhode Island, they do a great job of keeping them on schedule. So we'll have more details for you on that as we go through the week. But it is also Tuesday, so we have a South Coast Health Community Spotlight discussion for you. South Coast Health helps us bring and shine the spotlight onto great nonprofit organizations across the South Coast and the work that they do. And so it is time for another opportunity to shine that spotlight. And we are joined now by Bonnie Mello, the president and CEO of Lifestream. Good morning, Bonnie. How are you?
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Well, thank you for coming in. So tell us about Lifestream and the work that you do there.
Sure. Lifestream was founded in 1976 by parents of children with intellectual and developmental disabilities who wanted a better life for their children. At the time, really the only option was institutional care. We have grown to be one of the larger human service agencies in the area. We serve over 400 individuals with intellectual and developmental disabilities annually. We have nearly 700 employees, and we have a budget of about $30 million that goes into payroll every year that has a trickle-down effect to the economy.
So when you're talking about being, so just kind of describe to us, you'd mentioned that they'd have to be institutionalized. Just how different would life be for a person with these needs then compared to what you can offer them now?
Oh, a world of difference. So, when Lifestream was founded and the institutional movement was, prior to the institutional movement, individuals with disability were institutionalized at birth. They lived a life that was confined, a ratio of maybe 1 to 20, and they didn't have rights or dignity or the respect that people have today. And we still have a long way to go, don't get me wrong, but life is much different. And part of our 50th anniversary events actually include a historical event talking about the history and pictures, starting probably around 1950 at the time of institutional care through today. The exhibit really highlights the importance of advocacy and where we've come today compared to the times when people with disability were shut away and institutionalized.
But what it takes is that helping hand that your organization can give, because, you know, obviously the reason why these people were institutionalized in the first place is families couldn't give them the care that they needed. They needed somebody else who would come in and kind of step in and be that helper and that advocate for them.
Yes, I think it was, society has also changed our opinion of people with intellectual and developmental disabilities, that they can be active and contributing members of society. But what LifeStream does is we help individuals to live a fulfilled life in the community, fully integrated, whether they're working a job like you or I, or living in a group home, or living independently by themselves, but they might need a few hours just to stay independent, maybe help with budgeting or community events and the like.
And that independence, those of us who have it without issue, we take it for granted, just how much that can make a person feel fulfilled, and does have that effect on the rest of your life as well.
It does. Actually, it's one of the reasons it is such a great job to work with people with intellectual and developmental disabilities. It's, first of all, it's not just a job, it's a career. We really highlight the growth and development of our employees. But also, you go to work every day and you make a difference. You go to work every day and the individuals you work with have a smile on their face. They're happy to see you. They know you're going to help them to have a better day. It's a great feeling when you go home, and it's an awesome opportunity.
And you know, for a lot of people who might wake up and go to work every day and say, I'm just a cog in a wheel. I don't know. Do I even matter anymore? You can go home at the end of every day and say, I not only help somebody in their life, but now they're going to go out and make somebody's life better as a result.
Absolutely. I made a difference.
And with that in mind, so just kind of talk to us about what the process is. I mean, I'm sure it's different for all the different people who come through, but kind of what is the approach with each person that comes in?
Employee?
Yes.
So, we have a wide range of jobs available, from direct support professionals to management, office, accounting, IT. Not everyone realizes what a nonprofit has for opportunities. And so the process is, you know, you'd apply online at www.lifestreaminc.com. There's a 2 interview process, and one is you meet with HR. We make sure that you have the skills and credentials you need, but then you meet with the individuals you support. And so that way, you know, it's right for you as a potential employee, and the individuals we support know it's right for them. So we really try to make the match about likes and interests also. So we have an individual we support who likes to roller skate, and you as an employee love to roller skate, that would be a great match. Mm-hmm. We really try to hit those key elements.
Because I think, you know, there's a lot of people who think, I would love to be able to do that work, but not everybody is cut out for it. Not everybody has the, because you do have to be focused on the person that you're helping.
It's a hard job, but again, it's rewarding. And we offer an incredible training program, which will allow our employees to grow. We believe in continued growth and development of all of our employees. And so it can be, it's different at first, but like I said, it's so rewarding that we find the longevity of our employees is just incredible.
And how about the folks that you support? What's it like for them coming into the program, and how do they kind of interact with everybody on a daily basis?
So everyone's different. We have a wide range of services and programs developed depending on the need of each individual at their place and time. So it all depends. If somebody comes in and they need additional help, they might go to one of our day habilitation programs or one of our 24/7 residential programs. But we also have a program where we support more than 200 people who live in the community. Some are married, some have children, some have acquired brain injury or traumatic brain injury. And so it depends on where you are in the place and time, but we have a program that will help fit your need, and we hope that you're going to grow into that next more independent step.
And that's got to be probably the most rewarding thing for you, is to see people be able to make that transition and to become more independent, and to say, not only now are you able to do this on your own, but you are now contributing to the rest of the community as well.
Absolutely. And it's rewarding for the people that work with them every day.
Do you find, though, that is it harder to find people who want to come in and help and to do this kind of work? Because I do think, like we said, it takes a special kind of person, but it also has to take the kind of person who is they've got to feel pretty good about themselves and where they are to be able to then go out there and help somebody else as well.
I don't think it's harder than any other job. I think that you do have to have passion. You do have to believe that people with disabilities should be treated like you and I. You have to have that philosophy. But I think there's a lot of education that can happen within the program. And again, that sense of helping others is a huge contributor.
Yeah, well, you mentioned that we are making strides as a society and learning more about these folks. What do you think we still need? Where do we still need to get to in terms of how the rest of society sees them?
I think we need to continue with advocacy, continue making sure that we fund the programs so that people can live as independent as possible in the community. I'm a little concerned about the future. So I think advocacy right now, to ensure we don't go back to the times of institutional, back to the times when you think, well, congregate care is the way to go because maybe it's cheaper, which it was not. Okay. I think we really have to be careful in the future and continue to advocate for the people we support.
And you have, there's data to look at. There's numbers and there's, anecdotal experiences too to share where you can look at people that were in the institutional setting versus people who were in the independent setting and you can see how much better off they are.
You can, absolutely.
And so now with that in mind, you mentioned, 50 years coming up next year. You talked a lot about how things have changed. What do you see coming for maybe the next 50 years of LifeStream?
So I see continued growth, continue to work with people to help them become more and more independent. We are opening we were just credentialed for an applied behavior analysis program, ABA, to serve children with autism. Right now, we focus more on adults. Serving children with autism, we will serve them through, that way we'll be able to do the lifespan, serving children from birth until the end of life.
And really, that's where you can help them be more independent is by getting them at the childhood age. And because I think a lot of folks understand it's hard enough to raise a child. It's harder to raise a child that has some of these issues. And then to try, you always want to do the right thing as a parent, but what you see as the right thing might not be what's going to be the right thing for them in the long term. Having the assistance of somebody like LifeStream can help make that gap.
Absolutely.
And so now, as you mentioned, it will be a year of 50th observations. What other things do you have planned to kind of recognize that?
So I'm really excited that our exhibit, the art exhibit that identifies the historical history of people with intellectual and developmental disabilities, will be showcased at the New Bedford Art Museum beginning October 9th. Our kickoff celebration is from 5 to 7 at the New Bedford Art Museum. Along with the exhibit, we are also going to showcase the artistic talents of the people we support. And so it'll be, a little bit, the exhibit's a little darker, talking about the history. Mm-hmm. And then you have the art exhibit of where people are today, showcasing their art. We are expecting to have a 50th anniversary event in March of 2026. And so people can stay tuned to social media or our website at www.lifestreaminc.com.
And maybe we'll even have you back before that so we can let everybody know.
Awesome.
So if people wanted to reach out to you to look into working with you, or maybe even some people who are looking to have a support for a loved one, how can they reach out?
The best way to reach out is our website, www.lifestreaminc.com. They also have all the leader, have contact information for anyone you want to contact within the organization. And we also have a link for potential employees.
Excellent. Well, Bonnie, thank you so much for joining us. This was very fascinating. And I love the fact that we are, focused on treating people just as people.
Yeah.
That's what we're all about.
It's simple.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
And thank you to South Coast Health for making the Community Spotlight possible and allowing us to shine the spotlight on great organizations like LifeStream, and we will continue to do so. But right now, I'm going to take a break. 508-996-0500, app chat and open line voicemails on the WBSM app if you want to send in your thoughts that way. Remember, anybody who sends in an open line voicemail on the WBSM app is going to be entered, and it can be anything. It can be your thoughts on what we're talking about. It can be a completely different topic. It could be just saying, hi, I'm Tim, and I'm in New Bedford. I listen on the WBSM app, and I love when you shine the spotlight on local community organizations. Just that alone is enough to get you entered into a contest to win a Seize the Deal. So you could be eating for free on us just for leaving an open line voicemail on the WBSM app. All right, let me take this break and we'll be right back. You could say I lost my belief in the Holy Church. And welcome back in. We're going to be going into the news in just a moment. But Sunday when I was meeting up with a friend. So I left Dash Laundromat, dropped off my laundry, stopped in the Dartmouth Mall to look for something real fast. And then I was going to go pick her up in Fall River. And I said, you know what, I'm going to take the back roads. And then I decided, because she was like, hey, like, when are you getting here? I said, all right, I'll jump on the highway. But as I was driving down the road, came off State Road, heading toward the highway, I saw a lot of homes that had solar panels on them. And almost every single one of them had a sign that said that it was installed by Isaacson Solar. Because I think people are starting to catch on that Isaacson Solar is the local solar company. They're not like some of these other ones that just come into town, they blow into town, knock on your door, talk you into buying a solar system for your home, and then just move on to the next town. Then you never hear from them again. You have a problem, you have a question, you have an issue, they're never around. That's not Isaacson. They're local, they're based in Fall River, and they're here with you for the long haul when it comes to you going solar. So they'll come out and they'll answer all your questions simply, honestly, directly. They're not trying to put the hard sell on you. They only want you to go with solar if it works for you. And then if it does, they're going to be there for you every step of the way. So if you want to set up an appointment to have them come out and talk with you, because they're not going to knock on your door, you need to ask them to come to you. And the way to do that is to go to isaacsonsolar.com and set up an appointment. That's I-S-A-K-S-E-N, isaacsonsolar.com. Have them come out and sit down and talk with you. They'll tell you if you're a good fit for solar. If you are, you'll get a free no obligation quote. If you're not, no problem. And even if you are and you still decide, man, I don't think I'm ready yet, that's fine too. They'll be happy that they were just able to answer all of your questions and give you all of the straightforward information with no runaround and no sales pitch. So again, isaacsonsolar.com. If you are thinking about it, I would definitely jump on that before the end of the year, because at the end of this year, those tax credits for going solar expire. So jump on those now while you can still get them. isaacsonsolar.com. All right, we are going to be going into the news in a moment. And then we can talk more with you, 508-996-0500, app chat and open line voicemails on the WBSM app. And then we'll give way at 9 a.m. to Chris McCarthy in South Coast Now. As I was mentioning earlier, we are basically in election season now. You know, we're past the Labor Day holiday. Now it's going to be all eyes focused on next month's preliminary election in New Bedford for the city council at large race. And then we'll get into the November election from there, the general election, in which all the council seats will be on there, as well as school committee seats and the assessors seats. But the preliminary will focus on the at-large because there's more than 10 candidates. And Chris is doing a great job of bringing them in already, and he's going to continue doing that on South Coast Now so that you'll be able to hear from all of them. And of course, there'll be other events throughout the course of the next couple of months out in the community. Candidate forums and things like that for you to be able to also hear them and meet them. They'll be knocking on your door. Make sure you have questions ready to ask them. Even if it's an incumbent who's running unopposed, that's your chance to talk with them and to have that one-on-one time with them to really find out what their vision of New Bedford and your ward is for the future. But right now, let's get into the newsroom, get all the top stories of the day from Mike Roberts.
Dozens shot in Chicago, Rudy Giuliani recovering after a crash in New Hampshire, and rabies on the rise in the U.S.
From the Cottage Street Motors WBSM Newsroom, this is WBSM News.
Federal health officials have cut back long-standing programs that track foodborne illness.
The CDC says the Foodborne Diseases Active Surveillance Network, known as FoodNet, will now require state health departments to track only two pathogens, salmonella and shiga toxin-producing E. coli. The change affects 10 states participating in FoodNet, a joint federal-state system established in 1995 that tracks foodborne infections in the U.S. FoodNet sites include health departments in Georgia, Colorado, Connecticut, Maryland, Minnesota, New Mexico, Oregon, Tennessee, and some counties in California and New York. Before the change, health departments were required to track as many as six pathogens, including listeria. I'm Tammy Trujillo.
Former New York City Mayor and Trump lawyer Rudy Giuliani said to be in good spirits after being seriously injured in New Hampshire at a car crash.
The 81-year-old suffered a fractured vertebrae, injuries to his left arm and leg, and multiple lacerations after his rental car was hit from behind Saturday night, reportedly at a high rate of speed. Giuliani, who'd served as mayor from 1994 through 2001, had been flagged down by a domestic violence victim. His spokesman says he helped the woman, called 911, and waited for police to show up. When Giuliani got back into his car, that's when his vehicle was hit. Giuliani is recovering at a Manchester area hospital. I'm Sarah Lee Kessler.
The CDC says six rabies deaths have been reported in the last year in the U.S., the highest number in years.
Wild animals in over a dozen states have experienced a rise in the deadly disease, partly due to shrinking natural habitats. Outbreaks have been reported in Nassau County, New York, which issued a health threat over rabid animals last month, as well as Cape Cod, Massachusetts, parts of Alaska, Arizona, California, Indiana, Kentucky, Maine, North Carolina, Oregon, and Vermont. Rabies is present in all states except Hawaii. The CDC says bats are the most common cause of rabies infection in people. They're also the most likely species to get infected with the virus. I'm Mark Mayfield.
With the pending threat of National Guard troops arriving to Chicago to address crime, the city is coming off a violent holiday weekend. Police report at least 43 people were shot, seven of them dead, since Friday in Chicago. The city experienced two mass shootings over the weekend. One incident involved seven victims who were wounded on Chicago's south side. Social media accounts in California may soon come with a warning label.
California's social media warning law aims to tackle social media addiction by requiring platforms to display a warning message daily and every hour after 3 hours of use. The message will say the Surgeon General has warned that while social media may have benefits for some young users, social media is associated with significant mental health harms and has not been proven safe for young users. I'm Brian Shook.
WBSM Sports.
Red Sox beat the Cleveland Guardians 6-4 yesterday.
Now your ABC 6 South Coast forecast, brought to you by C Street.
Cool this morning. We're waking up to temperatures in the 50s, so maybe some sweatshirt weather on a Tuesday. We're also looking at a little patchy fog this morning as well, so be careful behind the wheel. Low beams, low speeds when you have those areas of low visibility getting out the door. Then as we move into the afternoon, visibility is better, more sunshine, and temperatures going to be in the low to mid 70s. Once again, below average for this time of year, but that's the trend, the pattern that we're in, and it's a pattern that's going to stick around for a few more days. I'm ABC 6 Chief Meteorologist Christina Schallhoop on New Bedford's News Talk Station, 1420 WBSM.
I'm Mike Roberts, WBSM News. Stay up to date with New Bedford's News Talk Station, WBSM, and get breaking news alerts and all of our content on the WBSM app. This WBSM News Update is brought to you by Stevie's Wine and Spirits. Look for the purple dot to try before you buy. Only at Stevie's Wine and Spirits in Fairhaven.
They're gonna be some money shoes. One of these days, they're gonna cut into you.
Welcome back in. 508-996-0500. Tears for Fears there. Sowing the seeds of love. We also have app chat and open line voicemail available if you want to contribute that way. And I don't know if you heard the beginning of the program this morning, but I had mentioned that I went out to eat on Sunday with a friend. We went to the I Alive restaurant in Rehoboth on Route 44. Had a great experience, but they had something there that I had never seen before. And I wanted to know if this is something that happens in other restaurants. You can let me know. But at this particular restaurant, they pride themselves in being, you know, a mixture of Portuguese and American and Italian dishes. And again, there's not a lot of Portuguese restaurants in Rehoboth, I don't think. But when they brought out the rolls at the beginning of the meal, now, as you know, some restaurants bring out rolls and butter. Some bring out rolls and oil. Some bring out rolls and maybe like a chutney or something. I've had that happen before. But I've never seen a restaurant that brings you out a dish of, and I wasn't sure what it was at first. I was like, it looks like Mozambique sauce. But the server didn't say anything. She just put it down in front of us. And so I said to my friend, I said, it looks like Mozambique sauce. And she said, well, you try it first. And so I did. And I was like, yep, it's Mozambique sauce. So that's what they give you to dip your bread in. And it was, you know, what they call Rudy rolls, those dinner rolls you can get in a lot of different restaurants. And taking those nice warm rolls and dipping them in the Mozambique sauce was amazing. And so I'm just wondering, is this the only place that does this, or does this happen in other restaurants? Let me know, 508-996-0500, because I've never seen it in any place that I've been to before. And I think it would be a cool idea for so many of these Portuguese restaurants and restaurants that maybe aren't Portuguese but also have Mozambique on the menu. You know, maybe that's a good way to kind of advertise your sauce. Because I don't know about you, but I'm kind of as picky about Mozambique as, you know, some people might be going into an Italian restaurant about how their sauce is. Like, I know people who will go to this particular Italian restaurant because they have the best sauce, or they won't go to that restaurant because they feel like that sauce isn't authentic enough, or whatever it may be. It's like, you know, they have great stuff over there, but their sauce is too sweet for me. Or other people who say their sauce isn't sweet enough. I end up getting overly gassy. That's why you put the sugar in the sauce, is to cut down on the indigestion people get. But the Mozambique thing was new to me. And as someone who really, like, I actually gave up trying Mozambique in a lot of places because I was often disappointed. But this would be a good way to feature that sauce if more restaurants do it. But I don't know if maybe they do, and I just haven't been there. Usually if a restaurant says to me, you know, would you like rolls? I don't take them. Because unless I'm having something that I would like want to sop up some of the sauce with, I don't usually take them because I don't eat a lot of bread. But if they said to me, do you want rolls and Mozambique sauce? I'd be like, yes, absolutely. So it did kind of catch me off guard a little bit. I mean, I would have taken the rolls anyway because, you know, she eats them. And I just would have let her have all four if she wanted. And then they brought us out another round of rolls while we were waiting. So I don't think I've ever seen this anywhere else. And so if you know of another place that does it, let me know. 508-996-0500 or shoot me an app chat message on the WBSM app. But I think more restaurants should do that, right? If you've got something that you want to feature, something that you are proud of, find a way to work it into the opening of the meal, right? When I was in the restaurant industry, one of the things that I prided myself on was I thought I had the best coleslaw anybody's ever had. The coleslaw is often a throwaway. Many people don't even eat it. If they order like a fish and chips and it comes with it, you know, and it comes in that little plastic cup, most people either don't eat it or take it home and forget to eat it or whatever. And because so often it just comes out of a bucket. Or even if it doesn't come out of a bucket, it comes out of a package where it was just shredded carrots and cabbage, and they just mix it with a little mayonnaise and a little vinegar. But I had a specific recipe that involved, you know, salt, pepper, onion, garlic. That's the basic four pack I put in everything. Sugar, vinegar. And then I had a few little secret ingredients that I put in. And I would tell people, like, this is going to be the best coleslaw you've ever had. And they'd be like, yeah, coleslaw's coleslaw. No, I'll try it. And so I never got upset when somebody's like, oh, yeah, can I get a side of coleslaw with that? Like, sure, yes, spread the word. So I think if you've got something that you want to feature, you know, find a way to work that in. Certainly if you've got a Mozambique sauce you're proud of, I can tell you as a non-bread consumer, I had probably four rolls. Just sopping up that sauce with it. So, but again, if somebody else does it and I'm just not aware, let me know. All right, I've got a break I've got to take here. Let me get that done. We'll come back and talk more with you. And welcome back in. And hey, listen, if you're looking for a great place to go out and have something delicious without busting the bank account open to do it, well, stop by Brax, whether it be Brax Tavern and Tap, Brax Grill and Tap, rather, in Taunton or Brockton, or Brax Tavern in Middleboro. I'll eventually not combine them all into one, but it doesn't matter which one you go to. Whether you're going to Taunton, Brockton, Middleboro, even Newport, you're going to find something delicious and affordable. And they always have great specials. Of course, we talk all the time about their $12.99 lunch specials, and now that the kids are back in school, maybe you can sneak out there for some lunch. Just you or you and your significant other. Getting away for a little midday fun, a little lunch, and then, hey, whatever else. And but one of the cool things about going there is they always have great new inventive and creative ideas on the menu. And so one of the things is you've probably heard about Wagyu beef, but you've never been able to really try it. And you say, you know, it's kind of pricey, and I don't know, I'm going to cook it right now. Well, they've got Wagyu sliders there that you can try. And when you do, you're going to see why. It's so much better than regular hamburger. And you can try those sliders on the appetizer menu for just $12.99. So one of the many great things they have at Brax, whether it be meal specials, drink specials, lunch specials, or more, make sure you follow all their locations on Facebook. Brax Grill and Tap in Taunton and Brockton, Brax Tavern in Middleboro, Brax Cafe in Newport. And you'll always be up to date with their specials and the fun events that they have going on. All right, let's go back to the phones, 508-996-0500. Good morning, you're on WBSM.
Good morning, Tim.
How you doing?
I was going to start singing before when you had that song on, but I said, oh, you might come on here.
Little Christopher Cross there, yeah.
Yeah, I like that song. I'm calling about that live stream. They are wonderful. My sister and her husband adopted five children years ago, and I'm not saying her name, but she was one of the first ones they had, and she's a tough one, and she came with one shoe. She didn't come with any clothes and all that stuff. So my sister brought her to the store, bought all kinds of clothes and stuff. And she lived with her for 40 years. And then my sister unfortunately passed away 4 years ago. So she was very hard to handle. But then she had a breakdown and she ended up in the hospital down here in Dartmouth there, that on Florence Corner, my niece. And anyway, so she got better. She was in there for like 4 months and she's in live stream and she loves it. She's in the group home there. And they do a lot. They go shopping. They do it. They go for ice cream. They do a lot with them. And there's like four other girls there, and they're all her friends and stuff like that. And she had a tough, tough life before my sister got her. I mean, really bad. And then my nephew used to work for them years ago on the overnights at the different houses they have.
Well, and Bonnie was talking with me when we were, you know, kind of off the air. She was talking with me about, you know, just some of the ways that people are able to, like some of the clients that they have and the way that they've been able to contribute and feel better about themselves. And you think about that, like, you know, we feel better about ourselves because we're able to help them integrate more into society. But then think about how that changes their lives.
Right. Well, my sister took in, she worked for Kennedy Donovan, and she had them living with her. She had so many different ones, because some ended up going home and this and that. But my sister and her husband, they had quite a few that lived with them, and she took care of, and adult foster care too, and all that. But she, you have to have, like you said, you got to be really special to do that, because I know I couldn't. But she did. She did a great job. And she was my godchild. She was she had her baptized and everything, and she's my godchild. It's a real rewarding job when you know you're helping somebody, and even if it's one-on-one or whatever. But she's doing good. They go grocery shopping, they pick out what they want to have for the week. They eat really good, and I call her all the time. She's not far from me anyway, but I'll probably see her this. I see her every holiday and stuff. Her father can bring her over, but her father, you know, he wasn't the one really to take care of her. My sister was, and mm-hmm. It's hard, you know, with a man. You have to have like a woman there. But they're one of the best, I think. I just can't say enough, you know, good things about them. And Kennedy Donovan sent it too, also really good.
Well, thank you for sharing it. And just to switch gears a little bit, I've got to ask you, since I know, you know, you pay attention to food service, have you ever heard of anybody that puts out Mozambique sauce with the bread?
I've never have, but see, I'm not a Portuguese food. I'm Irish Italian, so I really don't. I want to take maybe linguica once in a while, but I'm not a Portuguese food lover, so I'm not really into the Mozambique. Mm-hmm. But my father used to like the Mozambique, the chicken Mozambique at Enzo. You ever have that?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
He loved that. And he always had the bread with it. He dipped it into the sauce all the time. So that's how you introduce it. It's a good idea.
Yeah,
they did that there.
I think more places should do it, All right.
Yeah, they should. But I'm just not that kind of food. I don't like spicy food. So.
Well, yeah, if you're not into spice, and they still gave butter with it too. So anybody that didn't want to use the sauce, they had butter. So I don't want people to think it's or nothing.
I like butter. I like butter on the roll, but I might, it matters how spicy it is. I do like shrimp. I love shrimp, but I'll have it a different way. But anyway, that sounded good though, what you had there.
Well, they also do. So one of the options is when you get the, when you get your entree, you can choose potato, or you can choose pasta, or you can choose seafood rice. So they have a rice they make with a little bit of like the Sazon seasoning there, bit of a Portuguese. So it has that, but it's also, it has the small scallops and small shrimp mixed in with the rice.
Ooh, that sounds really good.
Yeah, I had that with my steak, and then I had the leftovers for dinner last night.
Oh, that was nice.
Yeah,
that was good.
I brought home so much food.
Your coleslaw, when I worked at Staster in the restaurant, John was a chef, and he made his homemade coleslaw. He had these big, huge, huge, huge bins, and he would do it all by hands with his gloves on and all that stuff. But he had all the same stuff you did. And when my sister-in-law makes it at home, she puts a little, sometimes raisins in it. But some people don't like raisins.
Yeah, I never put raisins in it. But I'll tell you what my secret ingredient was.
What?
Crushed red pepper.
Oh, God.
Just a little bit.
Well, not
just
a little tiny bit.
Yep.
Oh, you mean the Antonio is the wet one?
No, like the red pepper flakes like you would put on pizza at a pizza place.
Oh, pizza. Oh, yeah.
I just put in a little.
I don't mind the Antonio. Yeah.
Little flakes of that, and then that gave it a little bit of a zing, but it was perfect to counterbalance the sweet and the tart of the vinegar. Oh, it was great.
No kidding. You know what I didn't hear on the radio this morning? It was on Facebook next to Dartmouth High School in Dartmouth. That sweet house blew up last night.
Yeah, the garage and the house both, and they called in the bomb squad to check it out. So we don't have any updates on that. We're waiting for more information.
No. Yeah, and it's right next to the high school. It's, what was the name of it? Used to be a club down here with the name. Anyway, thank God they all got out, and they even saved both the dogs, they said. They said that they found the last dog, and they had it on oxygen and brought it down to them.
One person taken to the hospital, so.
Yeah, one person in the hospital, yeah.
We'll let you know if we get any updates.
I can't forget the people, too. I know, I saw it on Facebook with people from Dartmouth that lived out there, that the house shook and everything. They were all scared. But anyway, all right. Well, you have a great day, Jim.
You as well.
Enjoy your Mozambique.
Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
All right. We got to take our final break of the morning. We will be right back. All right, that's going to do it from me for today. Stay tuned for Chris McCarthy and South Coast Now. I'll be back tomorrow when we're going to get a little bit weird because it is spooky season. Tomorrow we're going to have a Acushnet photographer, Frank Grace. He's had his work published.